Well, if you've been tuning in this last few weeks, you know for a long period of time, from December, we've been doing the Fruits of the Spirit. And maybe you're saying, are we near the end yet? Well, then we are. We are in the ninth version or the ninth part of the Fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. And we're going to talk all about that today. If you haven't got to do it, I would really encourage you, go back. We missed a couple of times. Nikki spoke a word in her heart, and then we did a Vision Sunday. But up until that, Steve Parsons spoke as well. So much has happened, actually. But previous to that, we've done 8 sessions. And we've had all different 8 parts of the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe there's such a blessing in it for you, from love right through to gentleness, to faithfulness, and now we're right through to self-control. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I really encourage you, if you've missed it, catch up with it. But even if you haven't, watch today, and maybe something will speak in your heart, and you'll say, hey, I want to check out the rest of them. Fruits of the Spirit are one of those things where, you know, maybe you haven't heard a lot talked about before, or they just get a quick mention. Someone mentions all night and then moves on. But we've taken time every single week. And guess what? We have found treasure that we didn't even know existed. And it's revealed things in the heart that we didn't even know was there. And I believe as a people, we're richer for it. We're better for it because the Word of God, wow, it's always doing something. And as we read it, it comes alive in our hearts in a fresh way. So let me pray just for a moment, and then we're going to look at the Word today. Thank you. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness, and I pray, Holy Spirit, let this challenge our hearts. Lord, we've been on a long journey with the fruit of the Spirit, and I pray as we look at self-control, let something be unlocked, let something be changed, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. So let me read you our key text, Galatians 5:22. And we had a funny thing in churches a few weeks ago. I'll give you an insight into it. One of the girls got up and said, hey, it's just clicked with me. And it was this part. It's the Holy Spirit, verse 22, that produces this kind of fruit. And they were sharing a really powerful testimony of, I was getting frustrated, I was getting annoyed, I was even saying, I don't even know if I want to go to church because I can't handle any more about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control because I lack so much of it and I can't stay good enough and it feels like it's not working for me. And then suddenly it dawned on them. They got a revelation. It's the Holy Spirit that produces this kind of fruit. We cannot do this. If we could do it, then it wouldn't be spiritual fruit. It would be our fruit. But this is Holy Spirit produced fruit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And as we surrender, as we yield to Him, as we submit to Him, He is going to do this incredible work. And I guess fundamentally, we've got to realize He will do it at His time, in His good pleasure. We have to be patient, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit, and He'll give that to you. But you will realize something far greater and something deeper as you trust in Him instead of trusting in yourself. So today it's self-control, and we're going to think about it. And I guess one of the big questions from the beginning is, who is in control? Self-control. You know, we think a lot about it. In life, we're told, you know, you got to be self-controlled, you got to be disciplined, you got to be organized. And if you're not that, well then, you're the wrong type of person. And the person on the other side is going, oh, they're control freaks. Everything's in control. They need to lighten up a bit. They need to go with the flow. And so there can be these arguments and tensions. And people say to themselves, I don't know. I don't know if I really want to be a part of either or. Is there a middle? And I guess today, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to find that. And so how's it going for you in terms of self-control? You know, for some of us, we say to ourselves, look, I lack discipline. I can't be on time. You know, I can't be early. I'm always late. You know, I want to go to the gym, but I can't stick at it. Maybe you're the gym person who signed up in January and you've already quit and you're feeling ashamed. And so you say to yourself, I lack discipline. And so then you look around, you see all these other people who seem to have it nailed. And you say, oh my gosh, like I just can't do it. So self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit. So good news, if you're in the business for that or need that, then the Holy Spirit wants to produce that for you through you. Maybe for you it's a different thing. It's like reactions and angry and you know, you're just reacting here, reacting there. Or maybe it's another one again. It's like, you know, you can't walk past that shop without buying something, whether it be a chocolate or crisps or donuts. And you're like, I can't resist. The temptation is too much. And for you, it's about temptation. And you just cannot stay away. Or maybe a complete opposite end of the spectrum for self-control. It's like, I can't get motivated. You know, you want to go forward. Maybe you've been in a low season. You're like, I just want to go. Or what many of us face is, we're good in some areas and then bad in others. And I wonder why, after all of this time, because the rest of it feels so different, don't it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I mean, almost like people will turn around and go, yeah, they're so fluffy. You know, like, those things aren't going to get you anywhere. You're not going to succeed anywhere with those things. And then other people are like, yeah, they're the things I love. I'm just gentle. I'm just kind. I'm just all of those things. And then right at the end of it, the Holy Spirit just speaks, or God writes it in through Paul. And he puts self-control. And it almost feels different to all the rest of the other it. It's like, what's that doing in there? But I believe today we're going to realize how powerful self-control is and what God's really trying to grab our attention with. And that it's more than we think, and that there's a different way, almost a third way, which is the same as Jesus, where he came and he made a way where there was no way. It wasn't this way or that way. It was a new way, like, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so lack of self-control can be a sign of lack of maturity, or that you're needing to grow in maturity. I read a quote this week and I thought it was really good. It says this: you can't walk with people less mature than yourself, then you're not as mature as you thought. Wow. If you can't walk with people less mature than you, like if they start to get in your nerves, you're like, I need to get away. Maybe you're not as mature as you thought. I mean, again, just to grab your attention, because self-control is a bigger one than you think. It's not just about being organized. It's not just about being a perfectionist. There is so much more in it. And maybe today we're going to go deeper and it's going to grab your attention like it hasn't done before. Because maybe you're already going, yeah, well, I know the people who need this message and I know the ones we need to send it to. What if you need it as well? What if you need it? Now, here's the basic premise or the basic idea that we're taught over and over and over again: success versus failure. And successful people have high control, and unsuccessful people tend to go with the flow. They lack control, or they've lost control. And I guess there's a large truth to that. It makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways, but yet sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. And here's where I feel we've got the problem, because Galatians 5 verse 1. Now, we've read a lot of Galatians 5. We've done 22, and we've read sometimes verse 16. Going to look at it again today. But what about verse 1? Because here's what Paul writes. He says, it's for freedom that Christ is set us free. Stand firm then, that you do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Wow. So he's just putting right in the mix here, before he's even mentioned self-control, that the ultimate goal of your life is freedom, and the complete opposite is slavery. And I think somewhere along the lines, when we start to look at successful versus unsuccessful, we could start to say to ourselves, is that person really free? They've got such a strict schedule. They stick to all the rules. They have to do this, this, and that. And they never seem to be able to do anything different. Have they really got freedom, or is it just high control? And can I tell you this, that high control never really leads to freedom. It might lead to results, but it doesn't lead to freedom. And then the opposite way, to be uncontrolled, or to just go every which way, or to be led by this one, or in a sense giving your control away to other things or other people, again, doesn't give you freedom. It might feel like freedom, but it's not true freedom. True freedom is found in giving our lives to Christ. And this Paul writes here, he says, don't let your lives be enslaved again by the yoke of slavery. Something's going deeper. Control doesn't lead to full life. Only freedom does. And so I guess as we go deeper in this thought today, we say to ourselves, okay, what's really going on here? Because it seemed clear cut: success and failure, control, no control, and I got to get more control, and that's my battle. But here's the problem with that. You get lots and lots of control, but what happens when you really do want to say something, but you don't? And we do this thing about biting your lip. In a lot of ways, that's kind of a tiny bit of self-harm. It's like you wanted to blow somebody else's head off, but now you find yourself like punishing yourself. And there's probably a right motive in that, but if we're having to do that every time, are we truly free? Did Jesus really go around every day holding back from what he really wanted to say? Or was he the way, the truth, and the life? And he was able to speak truth and love, and he wasn't living a life of frustration. Because a life of frustration is not freedom. A life of frustration is like, who do I really want to kill? Who do I really want to get? And you're going to be pent up. And in other words, instead of having freedom, you've got suppression. You've learned really well at suppressing things. You've learned really well at keeping things down. And everybody else, it looks like you're winning. It looks like you're doing really well. It looks like you either go with the flow or you're highly organized. But really, it's all about keeping the real you down. Because if the real you ever got out, people are like, oh my gosh, who is this person really? And so guys, we have a journey to take that leads us to true freedom. That's not being held by anything other than our relationship with Jesus. And he's the one that guides us. And it's the Holy Spirit working through our lives. And so suddenly we've got relief instead of resistance. Suddenly we're able to be the real us instead of keeping secrets. And anytime we have to keep secrets, then we're hiding something. Something's in the dark. And Jesus said, I've come to be the light of the world, and I've left you to be the light of the world as well. And if the Son has set you free, who is Jesus, then you are free indeed. So it doesn't make any sense that if you're having to use high control, which is really a form of suppression, to get through and look successful, then something isn't adding up. And eventually, what we've seen time and time again, cracks will show. And it won't be able to be the way you hope it. And suddenly it will just all break apart. Or the opposite side. This person is so chilled, they're so relaxed, but it's all suppression, it's all hidden. And deep down, there's real deep-rooted issues that they've never, ever brought up because they're worried it would spoil everything. They know it would take away everything. They know it would cause them to have to answer questions and work through things and get to the bottom of things. But I tell you, true freedom is fine when we empty out all those dark spaces with the right people in the right time as God leads us, because again, it's easy for us to go, I'm just going to do this. And we've got to have trusted people in our lives. But the way to freedom is to follow after Jesus. Allow him to get into those deep areas of your life. Allow him to bring healing and breakthrough and deliverance. And watch how we become the people that God's always called us to be. I like the methods, but the methods will never beat the Savior. Amen. I like the methods of do this practice, get up early, 5 a.m. club. You know, I love the methods. They can all be healthy to a point, but they work for certain people and they don't for others. They create slaves again. They imprison you again. They get you in the rat race again. They don't lead to the freedom that God's got for you. And I think the mistake on the flip side is, well, if I go for the freedom, then I won't be highly organized. No, freedom in Jesus, the life that Jesus lived, was an incredible life. He was in perfect balance all of the time. He didn't live in fear. He wasn't running from pillar to post. He was in love. He was in grace. He was in beautiful communion with his Father. And he had so many great friends. And he left a legacy so deep, we're still availing of it today. He trained up 12 guys and he said, I better go after 3 years. I mean, he lived the perfect life. And so we know it's possible, but it's just saying, okay, I got to get real with myself. It's not this way or it's not that way. Is there a way in between? And that's what we're going to go after today. You see, the good news of the gospel is this. Jesus made a way where there was no way. When Adam and Eve spoiled it in the garden, forever we were stuck in this and just never-ending loop of saying to ourselves, if I'm not good enough, if I don't sacrifice, if I don't keep short accounts, I can't stay good with God. And then suddenly, one day in history changed everything. The good news of Jesus, where he goes to the cross, defeats sin and death, and suddenly 3 days later, rises victorious. And now there's a new way, a better way, a way that says that even if you stumble one day, you're still not out of your freedom. It says that you don't have to be like that yoke in the Old Testament where you had the oxen and you put the weight on and you've got the plow on behind. And unless you do that, you'll never get them to plow the ground. Now, by our free will, now because of the choice we've been given in Christ, we can choose to have self-control. And it's not thrust upon us, or we're not having to give it to someone else to exercise control over us. Now our self-control looks like this. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, through myself, I give you my life. Would you come back and together we can do this thing? And suddenly, instead of you trying to do it, or somebody else trying to do it through you, now the Holy Spirit empowers you. And day by day, it's a relationship where you walk with each other. I don't know if you ever fell in love before. You have someone that you like, or you're in a relationship with someone, whether it be a loved one in terms of a man or wife type of relationship, or it's one with just a best friend. But if you went with a list of instructions every day of how this thing's going to work, I tell you, it's never going to happen. Or if you went the opposite end and you say, oh, I just go with the flow, the person's going to turn around and say to you, are you into me? Or is this thing happening? Is there a friendship? Is there more? That you're going to leave everything in confusion. But when we start to work together, when there's a give and take, when there's a partnership, where there's discussion, relationship, and suddenly it starts to develop and grow and there's commitment, wow, everything starts to change. And I tell you, our true self-control today and the true self-control that we're trying to get to somewhere in the things of the Spirit is saying, by our own effort, we give our lives to Christ. And then with our effort and his power and his grace and our determination and our commitment, we walk hand in hand together at his pace. And he leads and we follow. And it's this incredible relationship of going forward in the things of God. And now we have relief. And now, day by day, we're stepping into more freedom. And even at those times when it feels like it doesn't look like it, and we step back into ugly things, he rescues me and he calls me forward. Because if I'm to stay in control, well, I'm the problem. I am the problem. But if I'm to give control, and then he beautifully gives control back to me, and suddenly we start to walk together, what a partnership, what a force together, what a relationship. This is the way of the kingdom. When Jesus says to the disciples, he doesn't say, take over. He says, come follow me. And then once they got this thing, he says, I got to leave you. But guess what? There's one coming like me. Because his promises was never broken. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't leave them when he went to heaven. The Holy Spirit came. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he communes and he walks with them. I think one of the saddest realities is today is that we try to do too much of our faith, too much of our Christian walk with God alone. We're trying to do it just going this way and that way. And then we pray emergency correction prayers. God, if I'm going the wrong direction, turn me around. God, I really need your help. So we pray this heaven down. And it's incredible for that moment. And then what do? We start to walk our own directions again. And we get sucked into the lie of independence, because this is what's just continuously being bombarded into our minds every day. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to do it. If you don't do it, who else is going to do it? Come on, you got to drive yourself. And it's good ideas and good words and even good wisdom, but it doesn't make free people. It just turns us back into slaves, led by ourselves, punished by ourselves, or in the perpetual pursuit of some dream or unrealistic vision that we'll never get to outside of God's power. And it might not even be God's dream for our lives anyway. Guys, we don't want to run the wrong race, and we don't want to run the race by ourselves or in our own strength. I need his control. I need him to come and do something. Here's what Romans 6:6 says. We got to get this into our DNA today. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. See, here's the greatest reality that we got to realize is that before Christ, we had no choice. Our lives were controlled by sin. So it's sin controlled. But once we got Christ in our lives, once the Holy Spirit comes and invades our hearts and we become new creations in Christ, suddenly we've got a choice now. We don't have to live a sinful path any longer. We can choose Jesus. We can choose to live by the Spirit. We can choose to live a different way. And this is the reality of this verse. And this is what's happened. The old life, the old sinful self, has been crucified with Christ. And if it's been crucified, it's been put to death. Jesus rose from the dead. Don't resurrect it from the dead. Let it lie there. It's dead. The old sinful man is dead. So that sin might lose its power in our lives. See, here's the truth. Sin has power on people's lives. The blood of Jesus breaks it. Amen. Don't allow sin to rule and reign any longer, because it's not who you are. You've been transformed. You are no longer a slave or a dead person or a sinner. You are now a saint and a son. You're the one who gets to say yes or no. You're the one who's in control. And so when we sin, we're actually allowing the sin to take place. Before, we had no choice. Sin just ruled and reigned everywhere because of the enemy and because of what he's doing in this world. But now with Jesus, we dominate. We overthrow. But we've got to work and walk in partnership with God to live it out. It says this, for we are no longer slaves to sin. This is good news. Verse 7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Let that sink into your heart. We were set free from the power of sin in our lives. When we give our lives to Christ, this is literally what happened. We died to self. We died to self. And this way, sometimes it can be a tiny bit confusing, because we use self-control everywhere in life. And yet the self-control here doesn't really mean in the same definition as we would work. In fact, a better example or a better definition for us is that we've now been given strength. Strength's been put into us. A decision has been put into us. And now we have the power to choose. Before, we had no self-control. We were all led by sin. This is why it's so confusing, because it feels like the world's going, oh, self-control, self-control, self-control. It doesn't really work. It builds professional slaves. That's what it does. And you might see some results bad, but you're just a professional slave. I want to be a beautiful son. Maybe you want to be a beautiful daughter. You can only gain that by the incredible adoption when we ask Jesus into our lives and our life has been put to death, the old sinful nature, and suddenly we get adopted into sonship. We get adopted in as daughters of the living God. And since we have died with Christ, verse 8, we know we also live with him. You see, now you've got a choice. Here's the sad truth. Before we were Christians, we didn't even know we had a choice. We didn't know there was a choice. Now there is a choice. And I'm urging you, by faith, surrender your life every day. Surrender your life every day. Proverbs 25:28 says this. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. It's a big deal. And in the Old Testament, you just had to work it through. It was high discipline. It was dedicating. It was, you know, giving your life to God every day and sacrificing all of those different things. And the Old Testament, it's not quite like that. And yet through grace, the Lord helps us to sacrifice even greater. And it's not about an animal sacrifice. It's about self-sacrifice. Not in the physical sense, although it will express itself physically, but spiritually. Every day, I lay my life down on the altar. Come on, every day. Because not to get right with God, so that I can live the right life through God. So I can have full impact in the things of this world. So I'm not going back into slavery, the yoke of slavery, but instead I'm stepping into my full freedom as a son or a daughter of the living God. See, to God, this is big business. This is really, really important for you. This is so serious for you. I believe it's almost why he left it to the very end, the ninth one. Because the first ones you blow through and you go, okay, I want to love more, I want to be more faithful, I want to be more gentle, you know, I want all those things. But self-control? come on, this is what we really need, because without self-control, all these other ones suddenly don't seem to carry any weight if we're not able to live the life that God's called us to. You cannot do this in your own strength. Come on, let me tell you this. You cannot do it in your own strength. You might muster it up for a season, but not long term. Otherwise, you're going to have burnout. You're going to be exhausted, and you're going to walk away from faith. You're going to go, it was just too hard, because the call of God is high. And yet through His grace, we're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. See, the goal of God is to walk in the Holy Spirit. And as we walk in the Holy Spirit, then we are sustained by His grace. Another translation says it's like a house with its doors and windows knocked out is a person without self-control. Just anything can blow right through. Anything can blow right through you. It's just whatever wind goes that day, whatever happens that day. And again, not all of us, but some of us, we have control in some areas and then not others. So in the other areas where there's not a lot of control, you do unpredictable things. And then people go, what was that all about? Now, I'm not saying there isn't scope for that when you follow after the things of God. Of course there is. But it's a different thing. You're heading in a different direction. And God's grace sustains us and calls us forward. 2 Timothy, we get to the New Testament, New Covenant. Jesus talk from Paul says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And a sound mind could be translated really easily as self-control. And I think here there's another nugget that God wants us to see, something really special from His word. Self-control in our lives is always connected to fear. No matter what you say, it's always connected to fear. It's like, I'm doing this because I want to be a better person. Why? Because I need money. Because I'm worried I won't have enough money. Or I'm going here, I'm going to the gym, I'm doing this, I'm doing all these things because I want to look better. Why? Because I want to be more accepted. Because I'm worried that people won't accept me. It always seems to go back to fear. Fear, fear, fear. I'm not going to be a loser like my dad. I'm not going to be a loser like this person. I'm going to be a winner. And it all goes back underneath it all, this layer of fear that we don't seem to be able to get away from. And yet the opposite of fear is love. I have nothing to fear because I am fully rooted in His love. His perfect love drives out all fear. 1 John 4. I'm a son. I've been adopted in. He will not abandon me. Before I was an orphan, no one cared about me. I had to do it all by myself. Of course you did, because you had no one on your side. Not really. But now with Christ, you have an army behind you. You have the body of Christ. You have the love of the Father. You've got the Son who walks beside you. You've got the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. And together in relationship, you're going to walk this thing out. It's completely different. From here, it was always fear of missing out. I'll never be enough. Now it's like, wow, stick close to Him and all your dreams will be fulfilled. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. What an incredible turnaround. What an incredible truth. And it's so freeing. Wow, I don't have to self-control myself anymore because my control is terrible. No, I give my control up to Him and suddenly He works through me. See, self-control is giving up full control to allow the Holy Spirit to take the lead. This is really important. He takes our effort and He marries it with His power. Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't bring discipline. I'm not sure saying you shouldn't bring effort. You shouldn't give your whole life, but it's not enough on its own. But when we have the bed of love there and we have the Holy Spirit at the foundation of all that we do, then suddenly our effort starts to be 10 times, 100 times. Suddenly our effort's put in the right place. Suddenly we are putting our efforts into the right things instead of dead end opportunities that are always going to end and take away more than we can ever give. They're exhausting. This one is multiplication. This one's life-giving. This one is partnership. This one is relationship. Here's what Christine Kane wrote earlier on this week. I love that. It's a quote from her. It's just to bring a slightly different angle on this. It says, the reasons that self-control is the fruit of the Spirit is because we do have the strength in and through Christ to control ourselves. Note the word ourselves. Not others, ourselves. Perhaps we'd find the joy and the peace we're looking for if we focused on trying to control ourselves instead of others. Wow. See, sometimes here's what our self-control looks like. We are so bad at controlling ourselves, we try to live out our lives through somebody else. Or we try to control somebody else or something else because we know we're hopeless with control. So at least I can feel a measure of control somewhere else. And she says, don't play into it. That's not who you are. Submit your life to God and watch how you can take control of your own life through the power of Christ. It is a battle of sin versus the Spirit. Here's what Galatians 5:16 says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those, they oppress each other and to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Every day we have a decision to make. Am I walking in sin or am I walking by the Spirit? Before, no choice. Now I have a choice. And so the question is, and I want to ask a deep question just for a moment, where am I giving my control away? Where am I giving my control away? Maybe it's your mood. Maybe it's your feelings. And again, this can come in different ways. Like I'm being led by my mood. I'm being led by my feelings. I'm giving control of my feelings away to everyone. I'm giving control away of myself to everybody else because of my mood and my feelings. And then I find myself in a mess. I'm like, I want to do this, but I'm not sure if I do. And we don't know what to say. So I want my feelings to be information, but I don't want them to direct my life. I want them to give me an awareness, and feelings are not bad, and moods are not bad. I mean, given to us by God, otherwise we wouldn't have them. But I don't want to be subject to them. I don't want them to control. I'm not going to give control away to those things. And you'll notice that sometimes in your life, when you're in the right space, it's all good. When you're in the wrong space, it's like, you're a bear. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't realize it, but everybody else realizes. Number two, gym or sports. I mean, we can give control of our lives to our gym or sports because, again, it goes back to we don't like ourselves, and so maybe we're more accepted. Or maybe we've got this pent-up frustration and anger, so if I can just beat it out of myself, then I will feel better. And it works to a measure. This is the way people do it because it works. But it doesn't bring freedom. It does not bring freedom because you're giving control away. We've got to keep control so that we can place it in the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to give my control away to anything else. I'm going to give control away to my wife or girlfriend. Come on, guys, we see this one all the time. We love young adults. We're called so much to young adults. It feels like our first call. But we see this. Guys going faithful in God, maybe just getting into God, just coming to God. And then they find this person that they're dreaming of. And then suddenly it feels like all control goes into them. And what do they find? They're being led by the other person. Whether it be good or for bad, but they're being led by the other person. Do not give your control away. Pride and judgment. Maybe you're sitting here going, that's not me. Be careful it doesn't become pride and judgment. Oh yeah, them young guys. Oh yeah, I used to be like, not anymore. Pride and judgments. We start to give control away to it, and it's equally as big a killer. It just wants to bring us in. And you know where it really gets exposed? Is when we make a judgment against somebody, and then we realize later, that's not who they are. It's not what they're like. And we feel like, can I say idiots? We just feel like, oh, like, how did I be so silly? Because we're too quick to judge, too quick to give our control away to how we see it, how we perceive it. Maybe as our something else has happened to us and it's triggered something else. But I'm not going to give control to that. I'm not going to give control to fear, and I'm not going to give control to my own ways. See, the only way that we can have self-control is to give our control to God, and then partner with Him every day. That's how we do it. That's how we do it every day. That's how we overcome. That's how the fruit of the Spirit is supposed to work through us, is that all these things start to work through me, and then suddenly I start to realize, wow, it's got easier. I'm able to live by God. I'm able to deny myself. I'm able to give up. And can I be really honest? It's not so easy. It is not so easy to do this. Here's what Galatians 5:19-21 says. Come on, let me read this from the Message Translation. Maybe you've heard it many times in direct translations. I want to give you this. This is what happens when we don't surrender our lives to Christ and we try to control, whether it be we give control to somebody else or we try to do it ourselves. Here's what it says. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. These are the things that will happen. We try to control, but it only just leads us into slavery. It just leads us backwards, leads us right back into the dark places. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper. Wow. An impotence to love and to be loved. We just can't feel love. We don't know what love is. We're numb to love. We just can't get any love. Divided in homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival because we're disconnected. We feel so disconnected from everybody else. We can't connect on a human level anymore. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly paradise of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time. This is the way Eugene Peterson writes it. This isn't the first time I warned you, you know. If you use your freedom in this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. Wow. What a serious word from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by Paul and reimagined by Eugene Peterson. But no matter what translation you read, it comes across the same way. If you live this way, if you live cheap grace, if you just abuse sin and you abuse yourself and you abuse other people, then you cannot expect to inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter what you've prayed. If you don't live the right ways, then you're not going to end up in the right places. because you've just deceived yourself and you've deceived everybody else. We've got to live in the right ways. Self-control is no way. Living your own way is no good. It is going to cause us to live a life of jeopardy and not one of security. It's going to cause us to live a life selfishly instead of one that brings benefit to the people around us. I am here to bring blessing. And the key is, we're trying to get our own way all the time, or are we going to use our freedom to serve God, to allow Him to lead our lives? See, here's what we've got to realize. We give our lives to Christ, and then we can take them back, or we can continuously say every day, God, you lead me. God, you lead me. God, you lead me. Lord, where do you want me to go? What are you saying? God, show me in your scripture. Lord, help me to pray. Help me to read. We've got to get real with this thing, because the outcome and the realities are so much greater than we maybe realize. And so this is the tipping point. Will you have to go against your own feelings, emotions, wants, and desires? Absolutely. Is that going to be easy? No. You're not going to want to go certain ways. You're not going to want to spend time with God. Come on, this is what we've got to be real about. Will you have a desire to read your Bible or watch Netflix? Come on, let's get real. If you've conditioned yourself for Netflix, it's going to be it over the Bible every single time. It will only be the goodness of God that will give you a jolt and you'll get an awareness. Or we come to the services, we go to the worship times, or we get this incredible moment with God. What's really going on there? It's we've been so starved by the things of God that when we get an awareness of it, we're like, this is the most incredible thing ever. And then through the Spirit, what we need to do at those points is grab it like a lifeline and go, okay, this is the path I need to be on every single day. Not crazy moments of faith once a year or once every 10 years. Not incredible moments of worship once a month, but every day walking in worship with God, talking with Him, hearing from Him, praying with Him. We're on a pursuit of the things of God. And watch how you pursue Him. Suddenly your mind, will, and emotion start to turn around and you start to find they are the things that you want. This is what you desire. But will it be easy at times? No. This is why the Bible says you've got to deny yourself. You want to follow after me, Jesus said? You got to count the cost. You got to deny yourself every day. You got to take up your cross and follow after me. He made it so black and white for us. Is it simple? No. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, He will produce this kind of fruit in your life. A love for the things of God, a patience for the things of God, a kindness for the things of God, a faithfulness to the things of God. And suddenly you've got that control that you really wanted, where you're able to go after the things that your heart truly does desire. But if we don't have Christ first in our lives, if we don't make sometimes the drastic cuts and go, okay, I know I usually always do this, but that's over. And we follow after the things of God. If we don't sometimes do that, then we're going to find ourselves in constant tussle and constant wrestle against the things of God, because it's only sin or spirit. That's the only two ways that we can go. Instead, if I choose to go against myself, deny my sinful desires, and become spirit controlled, then this is the outcome of it. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what we're after. And so lastly, just for a couple of minutes, how do we live this self-controlled life? Well, I got no other answer than surrender. I really don't. And here's the dilemma of this whole thing. You see, what you really want is me to tell you five things, or maybe some people do. Let me say it like that. You want five things you can do, put into practice, and your life's going to be better. But all we're really doing is feeding that worldview of, if you do five steps, you'll get to X. I don't want behavior change. I want life change. And maybe you're on the other side and you're like, I don't want to hear no five steps to freedom. I can't cope with that. I don't want that, because you know it doesn't smell good. You know it doesn't lead you to freedom. Here's what I'm saying. The only way to do this thing is that you, one-to-one with God, you and the Holy Spirit, hearing from Him, and I can give you a few guidelines, but these are not rules for life. They will not transform. It's different for every single person. It's like that relationship I told you about. Some relationships, you go on beach walks, you'll be married in 6 months. Some relationships, you go go-karting together, you'll have a long-lasting relationship. Some relationship, you go eat loads of food together, you'll be so happy. Some is the gym together. Every single person is different. And the only way to know this is to get close to the things of God, and He reveals who you truly are, and then together you go after these desires. See, the wrong view of God is that He only wants you to do what He wants you to do. No, no, no. He knows you better than you know yourself, and He knows that sometimes a lot of the things that you're going after are not really what your heart's desire, or even better than that, you will find they will lead to emptiness. But if we would follow after His things, then suddenly the desires of your heart would be aligned with His, and you would get every desire and more times 100 million. It would be incredible. And I know that from personal testimony. But there is a decision to make. How will I live every day? in my own strength, go my own ways, or will I choose to live after him? And so what about you? And how do you live? You know, sometimes we say to ourselves, I'm not feeling it. It doesn't suit me. I don't want to. What's in it for me? Or we get trapped in that lack of freedom feeling. And so maybe we got to ask a question and go, am I under my own control, or have I given control away to Jesus? Because he will change my feelings. He will change what suits me. He knows me better and knows myself. I mean, the perfect example is the fishermen. They're catching fish, collecting money, you know, doctors, all the different things the disciples were before they're called to Christ. But where did they find their true identity? Sons of the living God, setting captives free, setting people's lives alight in the things of God, going and doing crazy things in the call of God, being empowered by the Spirit. They had a far greater and bigger life than they ever realized. They weren't just for the Sea of Galilee. They were for a sea of people, and to rescue and to redeem and to set free and to restore and to see the Holy Spirit work through their lives. Your life is made for so much more than you think. We are not here to just do a job. Come on, guys. You know what I'm saying? We are not here to fulfill a job. All they ever talk about in school is, what do you want to do when you leave school? Like jobs. Like, because all they're concerned about is they want you to get money. And I get it. But your life is not about getting a job and earning money. Your life is fuller and deeper and better. And the only way they can be fully expressed is through a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And so self-control is the gift of control. And then watch how together in partnership you can go after these incredible things in God. Galatians 5:16. Let me give you one more verse and then we'll be done. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. If we can let the Holy Spirit take over, we're going to find ourselves in a different place. If we can let the Holy Spirit take over, then we're not going to give our control to anyone or anything or even to ourselves. We're going to give it to him and we're going to let him. Now, this is hard and we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to come. And yet, if we do and we surrender and we say, Jesus, help me, he will do it. So let me give you a couple of quick prayers that you might be able to pray. Pray, Holy Spirit, come. Have your way in me. For some of us, that's what we need. For others, it's Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, make room in me, in my time, my heart, my thoughts, my plans, because I feel like I'm consumed with other things. Or for others, in fact, I would say this for all of us, a big thing we could do is go and serve. Self-control is always rooted in selfishness. What can I get out of it? What will I get out of it? I'm not into it because I don't think I will get what I need from it. But to serve is to sacrifice. To serve is to push back on that. To serve is to go the kingdom way. And watch how you will find far more joy and favor and blessing in serving than you ever will by serving yourself. Amen? And so lastly, let me give you a couple more things. The goal is always freedom. Free to be the real us in Christ that he has created. Goal is freedom. Always hold on to that. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And so how can we live differently? I'll give you a couple more things and then we're done. Stop living blindsided. What if what you really need is some people in your life who can speak truly into your heart? You don't really have that. You need to give them opportunity. That can be a really practical step. It can be practical for all of us. Maybe you need to be stopped controlling, being controlled by other things. In other words, what are the must-dos in your life? If you've got things in your life at this moment where you say to yourself, I have to do this and I must do that, that could be a good place to start. There's a good chance there's too much control going on there, and we've got to ask why. And we've got to have some good people around us that can help us to develop that and unpack that. And then lastly, start listening better. Position yourself to hear and receive from God and from other people so that it can pour into your life. Galatians 5:1, we'll read this verse. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Come on, let's pray. Lord, I thank you today that we are on a journey of freedom, which is about self-control, and yet we need a redefinition of that. Lord, I pray today for your goodness, your blessing, your favor. I pray, Lord, that we would understand that you are for us, and if we could get for you, wow, the possibilities are endless. Lord, I want to give up my control because I need you to come and partner with me. I need your control in my life. Mine's reckless. Lord, I pray today that if we're far from you, we're coming close in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, if we need answers, then we will find them in Jesus. But Lord, don't let us go back to that yoke of slavery. Don't let us go back to those 5 to 10 steps that are going to set us free. They will not. They may help for a season, but they are not true freedom. I need Jesus first. Lord, I pray today that we would embrace and receive and follow after the things of God. If we're not saved, let's say yes to Jesus and begin to follow him in our lives. If we've been far from you, let's come back to you. And if we're Christians today and we're going after this thing and we're keen on the things of God, then come on, let's make sure that our self-control isn't just self-control. Let's make sure that God's in control. Lord, I pray today, come and bless us with the Holy Spirit. Come and speak into our lives in the ways that we need to change and the directions that need to happen for us. I pray that we'll be gracious people around us that will pray for us, love us, and guide us in gentle ways. And I pray that we can be the same back to others. I pray that we'd be a people that serves, a people that goes, a people with kindness and generosity. And I pray that the fruits of the Spirit, it's a gift of the Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, begin to produce this fruit in our lives. And as we see it, let's partner alongside it and let's be a blessing to the people around us. Lord, bless us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.